नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading this evening from Canto 1, Chapter 17, Texts 30-33. What's happened so far in the chapter? This is Maharaj Pariksit confronting the personality of Kali. And he's asked the victim, who's the perpetrator? What's the cause of your suffering? And the answer is, that's very difficult to say, who's the cause. Some people say this, some people say that, some people say this, some people say that, and very difficult to discern what's the cause of one's suffering. But you're a Rajarshi, you must know. So can you say what is the cause of one's suffering? Maharaj Pariksit replied by saying, such an answer you've given is only possible for not only a highly qualified individual, but the personality of Dharma himself. I've concluded that's who you are. You're not just a bull. You're the personality of Dharma. And he spoke various pacifying words to both Dharma and to the earth. And then he turned to the personality of Kali. There's a lot of very interesting and relevant dialogue in relation to how are we to understand what's the cause of suffering. But in any case, this monger, this terrible personality, had a fair trial, and that was the sentence. So he pulls his sharpened sword and ready to finish the personality of Kali right on the spot, execution. And the personality of Kali recognizes, I'm finished. So he's very clever. He removes the cloth, the decorations of a king, so that he's no longer a king, because kings don't surrender, they fight. He's not a king, he's a Shudra. So in his Shudra paraphernalia, attire, he surrenders. That's where we end it. So this is now how Maharaj Pariksit responds to the surrender of the personality of Kali. Essentially he says, we'll go into the detail, but the essence is he says, all right, I won't kill you, but a person like you, a Dharma personified, has no place in my kingdom, so you have to leave my kingdom. The problem is, his kingdom is the whole planet. Leave my kingdom. How do I leave your kingdom? I've surrendered to you. You have to give me some place to reside within your kingdom. So how Maharaj Pariksit received the surrender of the personality of Kali? It didn't just, okay, you've surrendered, now you can do what you like. Text number 30. Maharaj Pariksit, who was qualified to accept surrender and worthy of being sung in history, did not kill the poor, surrendered and fallen Kali, but smiled compassionately, for he was kind to the poor. Prabhupada's purport explains, even an ordinary chatri, what to speak of a qualified one like Maharaj Bhikshit, when someone surrenders, doesn't kill that person who surrenders to him. You know, the enemy comes out with his white flag. Truce, I surrender. Hands up, I surrender. So even ordinary people accept that principle. Someone surrenders, you don't kill them. What to speak of Maharaj Bhikshit, who by nature was compassionate. And here's this poor fellow. Of course, he's a rascal, but imitating the position of a king, behaving lower than a shudra. How unfortunate is this individual? So the verse says, worthy of his position of the glorious Maharaj Bhikshit, he spared his life. And then Maharaj Bhikshit spoke, text 31. We have inherited the fame of Arjuna. We is plural, it's he. It's my responsibility to follow the example of my great forefather, grandfather, Arjuna. Therefore, since you have surrendered yourself with folded hands, you need not fear for your life, but you cannot remain in my kingdom. For you are the friend of irreligion. Actually, he's irreligion personified. The age of Kali. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, on this section of the Bhagavatam, this 17th chapter, just to appreciate for a moment the brilliance of one of our great acharyas, he took this section and made a drama. There's a recording of Srila Prabhupada describing Bhaktivinoda Thakur's drama to one of Prabhupada's disciples who was an English professor in America. His name was Hayagriva. So Prabhupada was explaining what the drama was so that Hayagriva could be the director of the drama. Act 1, Act 2. So Act 1 is two dramatists. The personality of Kali and personification of sin. And the personality of Kali is conspiring with his consort, female consort, the personality of sin. Ha ha! This is my age. And he describes the way in which he's going to make everybody's head spin by this vice and that vice. And so on the stage, the personality of sin kind of pantomimes this vice and that vice. That's Act 1. And then comes somebody on the stage, the innocent person X, and the personality of sin entices the innocent person X into this vice and that vice, and he comes on stage a nice person and he ends up being a terrible person, being victimized by Kali and sin. So these sins that prevail in the age of Kali, they're agents of Kali. They break the good character. of an individual. And conversely, good behavior is the emblem of a person of good character. So, there's a role in Krishna consciousness, there's a role in Bhagavad Dharma, so therefore within the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a role for what we might call sub-religious principles. Sub-religious principles are sub-religious principles. The primary religious principle is what? When I was coming here, the security at the Hyderabad airport are very... Every time I go through there, they make some remark, oh, namaste, Hare Krishna. You're going to give some lecture here? There's five of us. We're standing here, we're waiting for our lesson for the day. Do you speak Hindi? I speak some Hindi in a day. I don't speak Hindi. Okay. Sarva dharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. Oh, Sanskrit. He doesn't speak Hindi, but he speaks Sanskrit. And one said, I don't know the meaning. Can you tell me the meaning? So the part that he got was, oh, you want to make the mind one pointed. Yes, upon Krishna, not just mechanical one pointedness. Upon Krishna, yes, upon one thing. And that one thing is the source of all points. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pavartate, the source of all points. It's Krishna. Oh, very nice. That the Bhagavat Dharma is the one, the benefit to be derived by the sub-religious principles of this one religious principle. And minus this one religious principle, there, Shrama Evahi Kevalam. But we don't discard them because they're sub-religious principles, but we don't make them into our religion. We have a religion of non-violence and call it Buddhism. The religion of meditation upon one point, we call it impersonalism. Because minus Krishna, what's minus Krishna? That's Maya. We're still in the kingdom of Maya, the one-pointed Mayaness. We don't want that. We want one point upon Krishna. But there's a role, and Maharaj Pariksit understands this role, and Prabhupada expounds on the importance of maintaining religious principles. This section is very much involved in Brahminical culture. To become a devotee, we cultivate cleanliness, austerity, mercy, truthfulness. Why? To become more qualified to fix our mind upon Krishna. Because when these principles, say lack of cleanliness, go into a place that's just a mess, and then sit down for a while. I don't advise you to do it, but what happens is that as the place is cluttered, the mind becomes cluttered. And some people, not just some people, most people, they don't even recognize it. They're in the midst of uncleanliness, and that's just normal. And to a devotee, it's yikes. Prabhupada taught that when a brahmana performs work, first thing, makes the place clean. And as he's working, he continues to make the place clean. And when he's done, it's more clean than when he came. Oh, those of you that cook for the deity should maintain that standard. Not like one person is the cook, another person is the cleaner, after the cook makes a mess. Sometimes that is what goes on, but that's not the standard the Prabhupada gave. You may have a pot washer for your big feast or something like that, but at least, especially, cooking for deities. And if we're not cooking for Krishna, then who are we cooking for? Constantly, the place should be kept clean. Constantly. Prabhupada, I wasn't with Prabhupada when he was cooking in the kitchen, but I was heard from those that did. Prabhupada, while cooking, was constantly cleaning. It takes longer. But it's a brahminical standard. You don't cook in an unclean condition. You cook in a clean condition. Anyway, that's one example. And one who's in that consciousness, clean consciousness, it's conducive to devotion. Because why do you want things to be clean? Because it's for Krishna. So what's, it's like a needle with a point and a shaft that follows the point. What's the point? Like the needle that goes into the cloth. The point that goes into the cloth, this point of going into our life, is that we do things for Krishna. And following behind that is cleanliness, truthfulness, compassion. Again, why? Because it's pleasing to Krishna. Because it's for Krishna. Maharaj Bhikshit continues, if the personality of Kali irreligion is allowed to act as a man-god or an executive king, a man-god, this is, a ruler is to represent God, although he's a man, or human. But he's to represent God. That's the head, the executive head. He's answerable to God. And therefore, he's to be godly. And if you have a Kali, personality of Kali type person or individual in that role, certainly irreligious principles like greed, falsehood, robbery, incivility, treachery, misfortune, cheating, quarrel, and vanity will abound. So we've already seen, here's this Shudra. What's his thing? Dress up like a king and behave in irreligious ways. So this kind of person can't be in my kingdom. Because in my kingdom there's no irreligion. And this is the personification of irreligion. And wherever he has his influence, irreligion will manifest itself. Prabhupada's purport, very important. The principles of religion, namely, in italics, austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, as we have already discussed, may be followed by the follower of any faith. Christianity, Islam, Buddhist, Hindu, this one, that one. They may be followed by anyone. The Bhagavatam religion urges the following of principles of religion, italics again, principles of religion. These are principles of religion. They're secondary principles. Beneath sarva-dharmam parityaja mame kam sharanam. That's, I repeated that to the security guys. Mame kam sharanam. Mame kam sharanam. Krishna eka sharanam. You got it? Krishna eka sharanam. And all other dharmas are subordinate to that one dharma. But the other dharmas then have their life because of Krishna Ekasharanam, their vitality, their strength. The principles of religion are not dogmas or regulative principles of a certain faith. Oh, your faith says be truthful, but ours doesn't. That's not so. Any real principle of religion includes truthfulness and cleanliness and mercy and austerity. Any religion will have that. Some regular principles may be different in terms of time and place, concern. Rather, one has to see whether the aims of religion have been achieved. What's the aim of those? Mame kam sharanam, come to the position of attraction to the topics of Krishna. Sticking to the dogmas and formulas without attaining real principles is not good. Where do we find this statement in Rupa Goswami's teachings? Just following the rules and regulations like their dogmas and call that your religion without understanding the purpose behind them? Or not following them? Either way, just following blindly without knowing the purpose. What is that? Rupa Goswami's teaching. Huh? Niyamagraha. Niyama, agraha, and niyama, agraha. Niyama, the rules and regulations. Following them blindly. Here Prabhupada says, that is not good. Rupa Goswami says it's a cause of falling down. It destroys bhakti if you think my religion is just following rules and regulations. And neglecting the rules and regulations is also destroying bhakti. So neglect them or just blindly follow them. That's not what's wanted. What's wanted? Adhering to the principles so that it enhances our surrender unto Krishna. A secular state may be impartial to any particular type of faith, but the state cannot be indifferent to the principles of religion. There's one very long and revealing interview or room conversation Prabhupada had with, I think his position was the ambassador from India to Sweden, and Prabhupada was speaking with him about, it's your duty, you're a government officer, you should, the duty of the government, the duty of a kshatriya is to see that everyone is engaged in their prescribed duty. Yes? No one should be idle, and everyone should be engaged in prescribed duty. And he was saying, yes, you're right. Then Prabhupada extended that to, and one should see that the brahmana is engaged in his prescribed duty. And he was saying, oh, Swamiji, we can't do that. Prabhupada was saying, why do you mean you can't do that? Oh, because then it's involvement of church and state. Prabhupada's reply, it's not that you have to, say, become a member of this religion and not that religion. Whatever is the religion, the duty of the king is to see that everyone is engaged in a prescribed duty. And if someone is a brahmana, but not doing the duties and having the qualities of a brahmana, that's just a matter for the state. Someone's a, from Islam religions, they're a something-something, a mullah, so they're supposed to do a certain set of somethings, and they're not doing. Oh, but Swamiji, we can't go there. There's too much. Separation of church and state. And without government seeing, without an administrative head seeing, then it's just chaos. It's Kali. But here Prabhupada is speaking, at least this is what a qualified king would do, and to uphold the principles of religion, not you become a matter of thisism or thatism. To uphold the principles of religion. But how can there be upholding of principles of religion if one doesn't understand the purpose behind them? That's another thing. What's the goal? Bhagavad Dharma, in other words, the tenets, the teachings within the Bhagavad Dharma is not become a member of this religion instead of that religion. We don't say that. Follow the principles of religion, and we say that. But in the age of Kali, the executive heads of state will be indifferent to such religious principles, and therefore, under their patronage, the opponents of religious principles, such as greed, falsehood, cheating, and pilfering, will naturally follow. And everybody becomes unhappy. The citizens become unhappy. Oh, we don't like this government. So let's get another guy up there. But he also doesn't know. Oh, we don't like this guy up there. We want another one. It's really sad. Very, very, very sad condition. I just read something today that was, I found, doubly shocking. Our, you know, the hope of this new president being different than the old guy. Because he stands for, you know, change and being truthful. And one of the first acts he did as the president of the United States was he got a whole bunch of money from Congress to approve abortions. The latest thing he did is he's working on something that this yucky other president, President Bush, did, that said, well, if you're a medical practitioner, as a matter of conscience, if somebody comes and says, can you perform an abortion, you can say, no, my conscience says I can't. So there's a law that protects that doctor that says, no, our new president wants to remove conscience. And that's our hope. Religious man. By worldly appearances. Religious man. But what's the standard? What's the principle? It's frightening. And he's the head of the whole country. Text 33, therefore, O friend of irreligion, you do not deserve to remain in a place where experts perform sacrifices according to truth and religious principles for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Brahmavarte is a place, such a place, where the performance of activity is for the satisfaction of the personality of Godhead. In that atmosphere, there's no place for Kali. Kali, here's the point. By creating that atmosphere, we drive away the influence of Kali from ourselves individually and collectively as a community. If we follow those principles of Dharma and perform the acts of sacrifice, in our age it's Harinam Sankirtan. We can be, it's possible, to be in this age of Kali, not under the influence of Kali. It's possible to be in the material atmosphere without being contaminated by the material atmosphere. If we take the right measures of precaution and protection. And it's not true just for one group of people somewhere in some part of the world, or another group of people another part of the world. It's a universal principle that can be applied. It's a medicine, a universal medicine for the age of Kali. That's what Bhagavatam is presenting. Bhavosaraj Shrotra Mano Biramat. And it's very pleasing to the tongue and to the ear to be engaged in glorification of the personality of Godhead while we conduct our lives according to principles of religion. Prabhupada made it very, very, very simple. So simple. Chant 16 rounds and follow the regular principles. So simple. But within that simple, here's this message of the Bhagavatam. From the chanting of Hare Krishna and the four regular principles, there's a whole way of life. The whole way of life that involves, like we were just describing, cleanliness, simplicity, truthfulness, compassion, austerity, Brahminical culture. Brahminical culture in this sense, Brahminical culture in the sense that it leads or is conducive to becoming a Vaishnava. That sense of Brahminical culture. It's principles of life, codes by which to lead your life so that it's easier to fix your mind upon Krishna, or understand the subtler features of spiritual science. And so you can direct your life like that. The Brahminical culture is very significant in the construction or the composition of the Bhagavatam. This is right in the first canto. It's not an accident that it's in the first canto. It's a foundational part of bringing Krishna consciousness or reviving Krishna consciousness within society, that the Yuga Dharma is being provided, hearing topics of Krishna in the frame of a quality of life of goodness or Brahminical culture. To honor it and cultivate it. Then even unqualified people can become qualified. People whose minds are in the gutter can become fixed upon Krishna. It's really miraculous. It's a miracle to take unqualified people and make them qualified. It's very challenging. We are finding. It's very challenging. Take unqualified people and make them qualified. But that's the formula. And in a community, as you have here, elements of the influence of Kali, which may be the absence of standards of cleanliness or the absence of the willingness to accept some basic austerity, or the presence of incessant quarrel and hypocrisy, it has to be addressed. It has to be addressed in a Krishna conscious way, but it has to be addressed because this community wants to go to Krishna. This is exactly what Maharaj Pariksit is saying. Kali has no place here. My dear personification of irreligion, you must leave. Because principles of irreligion don't stand in this community. You know, it starts within our own heart. The tendency to be deceitful. I gave mentioned this earlier in the course of my travels, but I'll just mention it here because it's a different group. During the last week of December, when I was still in America, I gave a 12-hour seminar to the youth group in Chicago on self-honesty, which is immediately resonating with what we're doing here. How can you have honesty to others if you're not being honest with yourself? If you don't have honesty as a principle, how can you stay fixed on your path to Krishna? Through chanting, it awakens the desire to serve Krishna, the natural desire of the soul. These natural qualities of the soul awaken when you become Krishna conscious. So as you're awakening your Krishna consciousness, wanting to be very honest with yourself, it's so common for devotees who are beginning to take up Krishna consciousness to start to realize, oh my God, look at all these impure things inside me that I didn't even know were there until I started practicing Krishna consciousness. It's not like maybe I better stop practicing Krishna consciousness because now I'm seeing all these bad things. Those bad things would be there, just we wouldn't even know it. But because we're getting a little purified, now we can know it. Now what do? Continue on your practice of Krishna consciousness and discard the impurity. And continue to discard the impurity and just keep, make the heart clean. Cheta Dharpa Namarjanam, through the agency of the holy name. And the process of devotional service, hearing and chanting about Krishna, trying to pleasingly serve Krishna. And the impediment is not the circumstance, the impediment is within our own impurity. Our business is to make our hearts pure. So the qualified king, in the previous verses, Prabhupada gives like these two options. The qualified king is supposed to ensure that. In the absence of a qualified king, we have our, as in this present age of Kali, we have our hearing and chanting program, the hearing and the glorification of the topics of Krishna. The idea in course of time is to then have qualified administrative personalities giving proper leadership. One can practice Krishna consciousness anywhere by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and through the agency of these wonderful teachings that Prabhupada has given. So we can then make that purity manifest in our own hearts, in our own lives, and collectively in the association of one another within our communities of devotees. But we want pure devotional service because that attracts Krishna. Okay. So, stop there and see if there's any questions. Yes.
Sometimes it is seen that devotees are quite committed, sincere for a very long period of time. But somehow there is an element of honesty lacking in their relationship because they are not able to take the process very deeply. So, sometimes increasing. Why does it happen? We are so committed and so very sitting on a long time and I will do so many things, but they don't want to do it. How does it work?
having this discussion with somebody. It came up in a different context, but the answer is we have issues with Krishna. We may have issues with the person on the other side of the room. We may have issues with our spouse. But the deeper issue is, and we have issues with Krishna. We don't want to face those issues that we have with Krishna, which is, it's our program. In our relationship with Krishna, Krishna didn't turn away from us. We turned away from him. We broke our relationship with Krishna. We have that phrase, persons broke their relationship. In all circumstances, we broke the relationship, not Krishna. And we're still in that state. Even we're chanting. Let's say, you're sitting there chanting the holy name. This is now from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He offers, there's three different things to go more deeply into the chanting of the holy name, which I'm not going to go through right now, but one of them is appealing to Krishna to again accept me. Chant with that, just like Prabhupada taught us, Krishna, please engage me in your service. So, very similar, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we do this in our japa retreats. It's very powerful. Not just in japa retreats. I've been doing it on a regular basis. When chanting, it's chant with that from the heart call, Krishna, please accept me. It's a short version of I broke our relationship. From my side, and with no good reason. And I'm in this miserable condition due to that ill will towards you. Please forgive me for that ill will towards you. And again, accept me in our eternal loving relationship. Please engage me in your service. We don't want to submit to Krishna like that. We want to, what we think of as religious life, without the submission, full submission unto Krishna again. And we, to some extent we do, but to some extent we still have our issues. It's like a relationship is not fully repaired. People that are living together, but they're not present in that relationship. Why is that? The deeper issue is it's our relationship with Krishna. We have issues. Do you have that phrase here? Someone has an issue with another person? No. Else? Something? How are we going to deal with an atmosphere that's so contaminated? That's your question? Well, you follow the pattern in Bhagavad Gita. The first thing is, first level, entry level, is you tolerate it while you try to put your consciousness elsewhere. Withdraw consciousness from us, sat, and invest consciousness in sat. And higher level is you transcend it. Part of that moving to transcendence is transcendental knowledge. You see, with indifference, various configurations of matter. So, is it like you described, all this injustice and cheating and hurtful behavior? That's the dark side of duality. But the light side of duality is the lighter side of duality. It's not reality yet. So to be not attracted to or repulsed by the features of the material energy can be helped by transcendental knowledge. But this, the life of transcendental knowledge is the spirit of devotion, which awakens through chanting. The spirit of devotion says, here's this situation, it's very dark. What can I do to be of service? Then you're not affected, you don't become implicated in that atmosphere. You become an agent of Krishna to make that atmosphere different. Just even by carrying that consciousness, in what way can I be of some service to Krishna in this circumstance? It may just be by being a good example that's different than everything else. Whatever that service is, stay always in the mood of service. And then you're an agent of change instead of a victim of the circumstance. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Yeah.